34 in the Westminster Confession of Faith this morning for Sunday school. We're going to be looking at the of marriage and divorce chapter. So last week we talked about politics and religion, the state. This week we're looking at the family. Next week we're looking at the church. And so these three institutions that God has given us for the ordering of society, for the preservation and to produce a godly seed, you know, the seed of Christ in this world. He's given us these three institutions, and we're in the middle of that today in chapter 24. Before we get rolling, let's have a word of prayer. Before we do so, I want to commend to you two books. As we saw a lot of stuff this week, like with the shooting in Nashville, the murders in that school, Christian school, What Grieving People Wish You Know, and What Really Helps and What Really Hurts, Nancy Guthrie. Great resource. Use that one. And great audiobook as well. From Grief to Glory by James Bruce, who is an attorney in Oklahoma. And he gave me a personal copy of this, and I've given it away and bought another one. But it's his story of how he lost his child, and then used the Puritan writings to deal with the grief. And there's copious amounts of quotes from those writings in that book. It's very helpful, very good book. So From Grief to Glory by James Bruce, and then Nancy Guthrie, What Grieving People Wish You Know, are two good examples that we can use. We're talking about what helps when these things happen. What happens when the bottom falls out? You know, whether we lose somebody or something happens to us, and you know, it's like that's why you go to church. That's why you engage in the means of grace. That's why you pray. That's why you study the scriptures daily, and that's why you're in a community of believers, because these things have to these disciplines have to be in part of your life for those times. That's why you train. That's why you prepare for that. Well, you never know when that's going to happen. That's up to the Lord's providence when those things occur, and so you build up your ability to worship the Lord through those times in these days. Okay, so with that said, let's pray and take a moment to ask the Lord to bless the time. Our God in heaven, we call you Father. You are our Father. You were the Father of Christ before you were our Father, and now we are your adopted children as well. And so we give you the praise and honor and respect due to your office and our relation with you. You are our leader, our guide. You sustain us. Lord, would you send your blessings upon us today and care for us, not as even an earthly father could do, but as not the Father, but the supreme King and ruler of all creation. You give blessings each and every day, mercies to us. You're rich in mercy. So we pray today that you would mercifully deal with us, your people, your children today, and give us truth from your scriptures and your spirit to remind us of them and teach us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's start today. We're going to be looking at marriage. So marriage, let's look at the first two sections, and we'll read Genesis 2, a portion of Genesis 2 today, and then we will get into the rest of it. So it says, marriage is to be between one man and one woman. Come on in. Neither is it lawful for any man to have more than one wife, nor for any woman to have more than one husband at the same time. And then two, marriage was ordained for the mutual help of husband and wife, for the increase of mankind with a legitimate issue, and of the church with a holy seed, and for preventing of uncleanness. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 2, looking at verse 18, and it says 18 down to 25. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Remember, he'd placed the man in the garden to work it and keep it. And it says, I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. And the man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib of that rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Okay, there we have it. So the first point that the confession wants to make about marriage is between one man and one woman. There you go. And it's various times throughout this, it's emphasized one man and one woman throughout the Genesis 2 text, a man and his wife. So marriage is between one man and one woman. Neither is it law for any man to have more than one wife or a woman to have more than one husband at the same time. And they are going to appeal to Genesis 2:24. A man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We see also, Matthew 19. I had a little gurgling tummy there, right? Yeah, so, hey, watch out. I might eat you. So I'm very hungry. There's donuts out there. Okay, yeah, so I might need to get some of that sugar. All right, but hey, tell you what, guys. So marriage between one man and one woman. Now, how does the Bible here and other places, or does the Bible sanction polygamy or polyandry? No. Why might you think that it could sanction it? Any ideas on that?
There's examples.
There's reports of men with multiple wives in the scriptures, right? Is this ever commended? No. The only possible example would be if a relative dies and then you need to take that wife, the widow, as a wife. There's a command for that in the law of Moses to provide for and provide an inheritance and a place for that woman. That'd be the only, I think, exception where the law would allow for such a thing, if that were the case. So, but yeah, never does it. Just because the Bible reports something doesn't mean it commends it. And there's a lot of that polygamy in the scriptures. All the usual suspects of saints we'd look to and be like, those are the big dogs of this Old Testament, all have multiple wives. I mean, like, so it was very common to see in the old covenant men marrying more than one woman, and that's never it doesn't fly with Genesis 2, and it is out of the bounds. Okay, any questions on that? Straightforward. Genesis 2, that's where we go. What does Proverbs 2:17 say? Has anybody got it? Proverbs 2:17. It says, what does it say? It's the end of a verse.
Who has left the partner of youth and ignored the covenant you make before God?
Yeah. And so the idea of the danger of leaving the one you've made a covenant with, the bride of your youth, and pursuing another, the danger of adultery, is outlaid throughout the scriptures. So we want to be mindful of that and to not go after other spouses or other beyond the ones that we're in a covenant of marriage with. So we're saying yes to one and no to everyone else when we get married. So that's the idea, saying yes to one and no to everyone else. Okay? Marriage, so the question here is, if Jesus taught on marriage from Genesis 2 in his day, how should the church teach on marriage today? Any thoughts? How should the church talk about marriage or teach about marriage?
I'm going to go out on the limb and probably say it should be the same.
It should match. We should match that. Yeah, I mean, that's
Joel, you really set that up.
we're gonna match that. Okay, that's good. You had us on the edge of our seats, but we're gonna exhale and say yes. Okay, that's so. Anyone disagree with that? I mean, like, what would be some thoughts on what should the church say about marriage? How do we talk about it? I mean, is it awkward for you guys to talk about marriage openly here? I mean, like, what do you think?
I mean, it shouldn't be, because I mean, if union is what I think of, and as a church, we should be very clear on union, like even our union with Christ. And so, how's that, you know, reflecting our union as a marriage?
Sure. Please.
Some things, some of the challenges in discussing kind of the roles in marriage and they get a little muddy is, you know, even in Christian circles, talking about that and how the husband is the kind of Christ representation. You know, like those things get a little get a little muddy and a little.
So this guy's the boss, and she just does what he says. That's
Well, I think a lot of that's like it's what people define. Like, okay, let's just get the monkey out. The whole word submission.
It's
a big topic. And I think a lot of times it's a people don't understand what that word means, and that's caused a lot of. Confusion, you know, lots of making it something that it was never intended.
Yeah, okay, thank you. We'll come back to this. Yes, Joel, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I mean, just for something applicable to me. It's applicable to others, but just for me.
Yes.
The aspect of marriage and a biblical marriage is all that stuff we read, like fruit of the Spirit and love and patience and all that kind of stuff. You really have to bring that to a marriage to make it successful.
Yeah.
And I'm just talking about me personally, because sometimes we can find ourselves treating like an acquaintance or a stranger better than our spouse.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important that all those things that we read about and are supposed to do, like love and peace and kindness, that should probably apply to your spouse first and I don't want to say primarily, but definitely first and the most.
Yeah.
Well, you get, I think it really it's the treating other people's better. That's like a mask, right? Like you're actually.
That is true, but.
Like your spouse gets the raw, real you. The outside people a lot of times get the fluffed up you. They get the.
That's true, but but your spouse is the one that you actually did make the commitment and the promise to God, to that person.
For sure,
So if anyone deserves kindness, it's that person. If anyone deserves forgiveness, it's definitely that person.
Please, one more.
I think that a lot of times what we do is we try to see this through a worldly view as well, because when you use words like submit or submission, it really isn't that. I think, Cody, you were kind of alluding to it, you know, because submission literally means respecting, okay, and deferring to, and allow the man to be a man, because he also needs to fulfill that role. And then the other side of that, the flip side, is honoring the wife, which is also respecting, also listening to. So it's, I think it's the way we frame things and look through, you know, the biblical text with this worldly view. But when you look deeper, you understand that these are words that imply behaviors and actions that are supportive.
Right, sure, sure. It's a very, very nuanced understanding there, yes.
And context is also important. Very important, especially when the Who is Paul? Is it Paul?
Ephesians 5?
Yes. Yeah, and he was telling the women to, you know, be silent and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about a different passage there. That's 1 Timothy 2.
You're right. Okay, that's right. I can't remember. But,
yeah,
as I said, context is important. So he was just, the audience, he was just targeting that church where, you know, women were perhaps being...
So let's get back on topic to marriage. Okay, I want to talk just about marriage right now. Okay, so marriage. Let's look at this. So I want to tell you, Romans 12:10 says, "Outdo one another in showing honor." Okay, and that does that show brotherly affection toward one another, right? Outdo one another in showing honor. If you want to know what honoring your spouse looks like, that's the husband honoring the wife, and then the wife honoring the husband, submitting to, And but there is a different role, different, I mean, men and women are different. So it's like, so the husband is playing, as Cody alluded to, the role of Christ in loving, giving, laying down his life, caring for the wife's, good and glory, lifting her up. And then the wife is honoring the husband, right? So it's not like a, you've got to do everything I say person, right? It's like it's actually forgiving, cleansing, beautifying, a pretty amazing description of what that would look like on the part of a husband in Ephesians 5. So if you think about that way, yeah, but everyone wants to isolate this ancient book here, the Bible, and say how outdated and how non-conforming to modern sensibilities it is and strike out Ephesians 5:22. As submit, wives submit to your husbands, right? Which they just want to take that, but like, if you would just read the next three verses and go on through, it's like it's an incredibly life-giving description of what a husband ought to be. And if we would just read that, that would be incredibly helpful. And if there's a husband who's seeking to model himself after the pattern of Christ.
What did you say before that? You said it's more of a purifying.
It's a purifying. Yes, it's a cleansing. It's a sanctifying. It's about the good of the other person, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did he say cultivating too? Or?
Cultivating. I'd say that.
Like a garden.
Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah. So you could use that as a vine dresser situation. Yeah.
Well,
possible.
I also heard mm-hmm. one time that when Paul's giving mm-hmm. the instructions to a husband, and he's giving instructions to a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one example would be, okay, so the husband loved, you use that, like mm-hmm. Christ loved their, like, loved the church, and husband loved their wives, and all that. But, so, love is mentioned mm-hmm. under the husband. Submission is not.
Mm-hmm.
It is mentioned under wife.
Particularly,
but love is not.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that the wife doesn't love the husband.
Correct. That's a good point. Yeah,
and so,
it's fair.
Like we can interchange them, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to it, we honor one another, we serve one another, we love one another.
Right.
And so we both submit to Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right. It's
so,
yeah.
So I don't even understand why we use the word role.
Uh-huh.
It's not in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think it causes, when we do, it causes us to think the husband plays this role.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
The wife plays this role. It's not about a role.
Yeah,
it's
because where that falls apart is the husband is the church as well, just like the wife is the church.
Right. The bride.
Yeah.
The husband's the bride.
Yeah, the husband's the bride.
We all play the role of church, yes.
Yeah.
We're none of us are Jesus.
So I think it kind of causes like a little bit of confusion.
Yeah. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, though, guys, because people abuse it. It's abused, okay? It's used to justify all kinds of things.
Well,
you can't throw it out.
Yes.
Because it does say in the text that the Christ loves, that the husband loves the wife as Christ loves the church. That is the role, and that's what he portrays. And the church submits to and obeys and respects. Yeah, those are the role. Yeah.
I was going to say I heard this recently, the part that I think that's good how you brought up, like that it's love mentioned on the part of the husband,
uh-huh.
but as it's modeled in Christ, like Christ's love is, it's not a pat on the head, it's sacrifice, like
yes,
ultimate
yeah,
sacrifice and being brought very low.
So the woman in a godly marriage ought to be lifted up above the husband by the husband, right? Honored, champion, and to put somebody above yourself. And die for that person is the call, to die for another. And that means to live for, not just take a stand in front of the bullet for the person, to so they can live. But it's the cleaning the dishes. It's whatever it is you got to do to help that wife, and to serve her in some way to make her holy. That's the goal, to make her holy. So that's the role is. We got into roles, but I was just talking about the persons, okay? So man and woman, you're going to have clients, you're going to have, neighbors, you're going to have everybody else is going to say, and family members are going to say, hey, it doesn't matter, male or female, just like as long as two people love each other, that's the standard. So we got to address that elephant in the room and be like, hey, that That the scripture has no sanction for that. A marriage is only properly a marriage if it's a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, between one man and one woman. That's clear. So you can't have a marriage between two men, two women, or one man and two women, or any other arrangement but one man and one woman at the same time. It's got to be just one husband, one wife. That's the situation. So that's what the scripture teaches. Because it does demonstrate, and as Paul says, the role of Christ and the church. Christ loves his bride, offers himself up for her, dies for her, cares for her, to make her holy, to make her beautiful, without blemish, and lift her up in glorious to glorious degree. And we are a shadow as a marriage of that. And the wife loves their loves, honors, submits, respects to the bridegroom. Yeah, which is not the husband ultimately, but the Christ, the Jesus. So that's it. So we're imaging that in our marriages when we are doing so in accordance with God's design for marriage. So you see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To on that is that, you know, because you mentioned that we abuse.
Yeah.
But when those are working the way that they should.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just described, there's no reason to abuse.
Right. Yeah, right. It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful, you know, harmony.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's lots of words I guess we could use, but so the where I think abuse comes in is when, one, if it's not a man and a woman,
mm-hmm.
and then also when. One is, the wife is expected to respect,
mm-hmm.
and honor and serve whatever, but the love is
different,
not the way it should be. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. It's completely out of line. You know,
yeah.
A lot of times. You know, so I think there's a. But this is why I can't have nice things, guys. We typically take the good things and just mess them up, right? We can have good things. We can have nice things if we repent. Like that's what our calling. Repentance is our daily calling. So, we've messed up in the past, but we're gonna today do the best we can to live in accordance with the godly marriage design.
Yeah, and the problem is
yeah.
that we do.
Yeah.
Wife and husband mess up in those every
yep.
day.
Yep.
Like, and that's why we live.
Yeah, it's really, really important to make that. Like, there's no perfect marriage. There's no marriage that's going to be an example that's going to be. To stand up to the description in Ephesians 5.
Well, I know, like you said,
mm-hmm.
you're using like husband in Christ, but that also, I know it's kind of a picture, but that falls short really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
That puts expectations on husbands that they can't.
Right.
They can't, there's no way they can ever. They're not Christ.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of it is to fail. You know, to realize I need Christ, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I didn't ever fail, I wouldn't need Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
So that's why the law's demands are greater than we can accomplish because we can't do it, and that's why we need Jesus. That's the second use of the law. You know, the mm-hmm. second use of the law, third use of the law. So the third use of the law, you don't want to be like, oh, I'm not going to refer to the Bible to learn about marriage. That would be the third use of the law, right? You want to use the third use of the law as a guide to know how to be a husband or a wife, like. Outdo one another in showing honor, submit, love, respect. All those commands, those are imperatives for the believer. But as we try to do those things, we come into the second use of the law, which is the, oh, I need Christ as my righteousness and I need forgiveness for my sins. Where can I go for that? I can't go to my own record, but I go to Christ. So that it works together. We can't just like dampen down because we can't do it. The requirements, because the requirements help us. Because they push us toward greater holiness and, greater holiness. That's where it's going to go. I mean, we're going to end up through repentance and life. So, yeah, questions over here. You had some more.
You just have to remember that these things are what we're trying to, or attempting to obtain.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to achieve these things. You have to have that benchmark.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
You constantly have to, it allows you to understand your flaws and
yeah.
your shortcomings, but at the same time, still put you in that mindset.
Yeah.
We want to achieve this. We want to reach that law.
It's over my head. Yeah. You know, I mean, well, I'm kind of taller than that line, but yeah. You know, anyway, it's over my head. But the situation is where we get wrong is we think we're going to actually get there. You know, like we've got in our minds that we're getting better at this as we go along. But actually, what's true is as in Christ, we're realizing the further more maturity we develop, the less likely we are to get to that. And ever make the ideal here, because the ideal is so far beyond my reach. At my perception of my gap between the standard and my performance widens over my life. It doesn't get smaller as you get holier. The actual perception of your reality grows as you walk with Christ, as you follow Him. And so you love Jesus more because you understand through marriage, through failing, through repentance, that you are a sinner still in need of the gospel each and every day. You must have an idea that you're not going to, as you said, reach the goal and remain with a high standard for what it means to be a husband or a wife. You must have that impossible, as Tammy said, an impossible standard on a man, because there's no way he can do it. And there's no way a woman can do that, because, the standard's there. Yeah, you're not saying it. It's no. Yeah, like, I mean, I was affirming. I was like, because that's an impossible thing to hold. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, please, one more.
Yeah, Tammy, do you think the problem with the hot button issue of submission is that it's not that women don't want to submit; it's that we have a society that doesn't want to submit. It's a cultural thing at this point.
Oh, it's baggage. Yeah,
yeah, it's yeah. A lot. Very much involved there. I just think a lot of it.
That's for man and woman.
I think, yeah.
Because if you look at our societies, children are children are rebellious. Church members are rebellious. Uh-huh. People are rebellious against their government. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like up and down our society.
First and foremost, they're rebellious against God.
Yeah.
First and foremost, we're rebellious against God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you think this wife's not submitting is just a small piece?
It's a small piece.
Much.
Yeah. Yeah. Bigger picture.
No, I think it's more of an issue, especially what you said culturally. I think it's also, it's particularly an issue here in Western countries.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, in the Philippines, I remember them talking about that a little bit. It really wasn't, no one was really arguing with it too much in comparison.
Yeah, well, you know, we got through one section today. So we're gonna have to go back to next week.
That's okay.
But we had some really good stuff planned for today. So if you come back next week, I really wanted to get into the next section though, which we read, which was the three purposes for marriage, which are very important as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll know what it's for. We know who the parties are, legitimately, a man and a woman. That's about as far as we got. And then we had a good discussion on other things. But I do want you to know that I am thankful for your discussion and participation today. Don't ever doubt that one bit. Okay, everybody clear on that?
Just remember, that's where all learning takes place.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, process. Not just, hey, I'm gonna download this onto you, but no, we're gonna discuss it and figure it out. But yeah, so thank you guys for participating. Let's get to it. Be encouraged as we go to the Lord here in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you...